Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Lamed Ben Amud Bet, the last line. Rabbi Yochanan, my time, alo marki ula. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold like ula? Ula, who said before, whenever we come into a conflict between mamon, payment, tashlumim, and malkot, mamon mishalim milka lolaki, he pays the monetary obligation damages, and he does not get malkot. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan subscribe to that position of ula, especially since he has a gzera shovo that supports his position, which we just noted earlier on the amud. It says, im kein, ta'alta ervata chodcha lo tegale. Because by doing that, you now have eliminated the lav, ervata chodcha lo tegale. Anytime that you have the ervata chodcha lo tegale, you're not going to carry out the punishment or the lav that's associated with it, because there's going to be compensation that's going to be involved. And therefore, the conflict between compensation and malkot will land you with compensation. That means that the lav of ervat ochodcha lo tegale goes by the wayside. Somebody says, well, chovel b'chaveru nami. The same thing should be true when a person injures his fellow Jew. We know over there that even Rabbi Yochanan has to agree that in that instance we pay and there is no malkot. Im kein bitalta lo yosif, pen yosif. Then you'll be in violation of that lav, but you'll never get malkot for that lav because you always will compensate. Edim zomim nami. Same thing with Edim Zomimim, where we know there's a violation of a lav, yet we still give them kasher zamam lasot la'achiv, the way that they wanted to cause damage to the other individual, monetary compensation. Therefore, they're going to have to pay as well. Again, im kein bitalta v'haya im bin hakot harasha, you are mevatel the lav. So why is it that Rabbi Yochanan does not subscribe to Ula because of the problem of evrachat ochotcha lo tegaleh, that in the situation in which the person was anes, their sister, there they only pay and they do not get malkot. So therefore he says that, you wiped out the lav doesn't exist. You have the same problem by chovel b'chaveru, and you have the same problem by edim zomimim. Anytime we pick tashlumim over malkot, you have the same issue. And Rabbi Yochanan agrees in those other two issues that that is the case. Now the Tosafot points out over here that the question seems ridiculous in one sense, because that means that anytime you have a lav and you don't give malkot for that lav, for instance, a lav ani takle asay, a lav shein bo maaseh. So all of a sudden it's as if the lav doesn't exist. So Tosafot says, no, that's not a proper question. That's not a proper way to phrase the issue over here. Because in those instances, there never is malkot. Over here, this lav is ra'oi to get malkot. Yet based on the setup that you're going to create whenever there's a conflict between tashlumim and the malkot disappears. It's as if the lav has now been wiped out, as if it doesn't exist. And you're taking a gzeirah shava to override an explicit pasuk in the Torah. We'd rather have you use the gzeirah shava for something else, as Rabbi Yochanan will do, and keep the lav in place. Now, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan think that the case of ervat ochotcha lo tegaleh is the same as the case of edim zomimim, as well as the case of chovel b'chaveiro? So the Gemara will give an answer that explains the difference over there, that there are manifestations in those cases. But fundamentally, they're also somewhat different, which is that ervat ochotcha lo tegaleh, the lav itself is what generates the isur. The lav is found here, ervat ochotcha lo tegaleh. And over there, we won't have any manifestation of it in the case where it comes into a clash with the kenas. On the other hand, the lav for chovel b'chaveiro, as well as the lav for edim zomimim, don't come from the parshiot themselves. The isur, the lav for chovel b'chaveiro, comes from something totally different, about a shliach beitin that is giving malkot to an individual and that he's not allowed to exceed that number. That's lo yosif, pen yosif. Edim zomimim comes either from lo taneh beracha eid shaker. Over here, the Gemara quotes, v'ayayim bin hakot harasha, indicating that there are times that there is malkot, but they're not inherent to the isur. And that's maybe why Rabbi Yochanan, in the first place, differentiates and says, here you're wiping out a lav that's explicit. Over there, those lavin are not as directly connected to the isur or the violation, like edim zomimim, chovel b'chaveiro. In the end, the Gemara says that's not a problem. Ella edim zomimim efshar l'kiyuma b'ben grusha ben chulutza. By edim zomimim, there is a manifestation where you will get malkot, even though in general, when you have a conflict between paying and malkot, you will pay. There are instances where that won't work. For instance, edim come along and testify the fact that this individual, this kohen, is the son of a grusha, a son of a chalutza. They're going to make him into a halal. Now clearly they're not kohanim. We can't do to them kasher zamam because they're not kohanim. So there the Gemara in Makot tells us that they get malkot for that. So there will be instances where edim zomim will get malkot. Chovel b'chaveiro nami. Same thing by chovel b'chaveiro. What we said in yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Yochanan believes that when you have a haka'ah that is less than a shaveh pruta, which is boni tan li shavon, and there is no return of the monetary compensation because it's below the threshold, as Rashi notes over here, the case of a chovel b'chaveiro that's pachot mishaveh pruta, that the Gemara sets it up in Makot as being pachot mishaveh pruta in all of the chamisha dvarim. It's not just simply pachot mishaveh pruta in the nezek. Has to be for all those five different things. Has to be pachot mishavuta, so there is no payment that's due, and that's what allows the malkot to go through in that case. In that case, you will get malkot for chovel b'chaveiro. Where it says achoto nami, igal kiyuma b'achoto begeret. Same thing by achoto, we can have that manifestation according to ula, where it's a case that is sisters already a begeret. In that case, there is no kenas anymore, and you will have a manifestation of the malkot. So why does Rabbi Yochanan again reject ula's position? When, in all these cases, you have the same problem or the same issue, we're saying that you're wiping out a lav. Oh no, but that lav has a manifestation. Well, the lav of Avot Achudcha Lo Tegaleh also has a manifestation. So why is Rabbi Yochanan so reluctant to take the position of Ula? Zamalacha Rabbi Yochanan, hai tachat asherina, mi bayaleh lekede abaye. That is because the tachat asherina, which is the foundation for Ula Shita, the gzera shava of tachat, which teaches us that by the case of Knas and Malkot, that the Knas by the Me'anes trumps, that Gezeres Shova, Rabbi Yochanan uses for a different reason, which is the limud of Abaye. Damar Abaye Merkra Tachat Asherina. Hai Tachat Asherina, Miklal Deiga Boshed Upgam. We learn from that, Tachat Asherina, that the compensation or the payment of the Knas that's mentioned in the Pasuk is Tachat Asherina. It's because he afflicted the woman. But that means that there's other compensation that's not mentioned here because that's not included or not captured already by the Tachat Asherina. And because of that, he needs the Pasuk to indicate to us that there is payment of Boshet and Pigam, the Nezek that's caused here, as well as the Boshet that was caused over here. They have to make compensation. It's not covered. It's not subsumed inside of the Knas. And that you learn out from Tachat Asherina. V'ula. Well, where does Ula learn out that there's also Boshet and Pigam by the case of Me'anes? Nafgale Midurovo. He'll use Rovo's limud, the Amar, Rovo Amar, Rav, and Atana, Ish, Ashochev, Ima, Le'avian, Arach, Amishim, Kesef. So there it says, there's an extraneous term there, which is Aish, Ashochev, Ima. It could have just said in the Pasuk, Venatana, Ish, Le'avian, Arach, Amishim, Kesef. Why does it add in the additional wording of Ashochev, Ima? Hanat, Shchiva, Chamishim. The Hana from the Shchiva, from being Me'anes, that pleasure is covered by the Knas, and that's what the 50 Shekel Kesef are for. Michlal, the Ika Boshet Bugam that are not subsumed there because they have nothing to do with Hanach Chiva. They have to do with the Boshet and Pigam, the damage, the diminution in value that is caused by the Me'anes. And therefore they are in addition to the Knas here. That's what Ula and Rabbi Yochanan will argue about the source for whether Boshet Pigam comes from the word Tachat Asherina. Rabbi Yochanan comes from there and therefore he's not left with the Gzera Shava that Ula has. On the other hand, for Ula, he'll learn that out from Rova's limud, which is the Natana Isha Shchevi Mala via Nara. He'll learn out from that Shchiva or Hanat Shchiva that there are other items like Boshet U Pigam, which makes it sound like Rova actually holds like Ula, which does have Nafkumino, the Alocha, because in general, when we have a Bayan Rova, we paskin like Rova. So if Rova holds like Ula, that would support the position of Ula. Tosafot asks on that it's not so clear that Rova holds like Ula in other places. Tosafot goes back to his Shita, which he mentioned in the previous Amud, which is that when Ula learned these items, that you have a conflict between Malkot and Tashlum, that you make the payment and you don't get Malkot, might be limited to three instances of a Chovel B'Chaveiro, Edim Zomimim, and Me'anes, and not necessarily a broader concept. And maybe that's how Rava holds like Ula. He holds like him in this instance because it's only involving these three cases. But in general, he does not believe that when there's a conflict between Tashlumim and Malkot, that you would be Mishalim and not get the Malkot. Now, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Edim Zomimim, Memona Mishalme, Umilka Loloki. The reason that Edim Zomimim pay money and don't get Malkot is Mishum Dalab B'nei Hatra'ninhu. It's because the fact that they are not subject to Hatra'ah. Because there's no Hatra'ah, therefore now I have a choice to make. I'm faced with a situation in which the two options for the Edim Zomimim, one is to give them Malkot, the other one is to have them pay in cases where that fulfills Kashir Zaman Lasod Achiv. So if I have that choice and I don't have Hatra'ah, then I'm going to opt for payment. Because in general, when it comes to payment and compensation, there's no necessity for Hatra'ah. On the other hand, as Rashi points out over here, when it comes to malkot or things that are shayach baguf, then we do require hatra'ah. Since we require hatra'ah, and we don't have it here, I have a choice between malkot and tashlum. I'm going to go with the tashlum because I don't have the hatra'ah for the malkot. Rashi himself asks on his own explanation here, well then, what about ben grusha ben chalutza? In the case of ben grusha ben chalutza, we do allow for malkot despite the fact that there is no hatra'ah. So how is that possible with below hatra'ah? So there we have to say, hatam gzirat ha-katuv. That is a gzirat ha-katuv that we find that there is makot v'hedya, because the pasuk says, v'ya im bin hakot ha-rasha. And therefore, that pasuk will be in cases where we can't be mikayim, we can't accomplish kasher zamam lasot. But otherwise, we will try as best as possible to do kasher zamam, because that's a better option than the makot where you lack hatra'ah over here. The Marsha asks, then why don't we say the same thing by mita and mamon? In the case of Eden Zomamim, if it's a choice between mita and compensation, why do we say Kamlei Derabamine over there and they don't pay the money? The answer there is not because there's a conflict here in the lav of Lo Taneh B'Re'achai Shoker, whether we should give Malkot or we should do Kasher Zamam. Over here, what's causing the mita is the Kasher Zamam itself. And therefore, when the Kasher Zamam itself is causing the mita, that will eliminate the need for payment. And therefore, the lack of Hatra'ah will not stop the mita in that case, because that is the accomplishment of the kasher zamam. Where the lack of hatra'ah affects us is in a case where we have a conflict between tashlumim and malkot, where the malkot derived from the law of lo taneh b're'achai shoker. Over there, we're going to demand that there be hatra'ah if you want to go with the position that achieved malkot versus the case where kasher zamam is accomplished through monetary compensation. Therefore, where there's a conflict between those two items, we'll opt for monetary compensation. Amar Rava Teda. Nitru behu emat. Rava says we can prove that Rabbi Lazar is right in this case, because when are we going to give them a hatra'ah? How can you give Edim Zonim a warning? Nitru behu mi'ikara. If we give them a warning before they come to testify, amrei ishtalin. They'll say we forgot about it. It wasn't on our mind when we went to testify. Nitru b'shat ma'aseh. If we come again and right before they're testifying, or in the middle of testifying, warn them, parshe v'lo masadeh. They'll stop giving testimony. They'll walk away from it. Rashi claims because they'll be embarrassed by the fact that we suspect them of being Edim Zomimim. They'll say, what do I need this for? And they'll walk away. Other Rishonim say that they're afraid now that Edim Zomimim will show up and lie and get them into trouble. So therefore they say, I don't need this bother. I'm out of here. So Nitrabil the Sof, what are you going to give them a try after they testify? Madahava Hava. What's done is done. Meaning they've already testified already. And as Rashi says, once they've given their testimony, they can't reverse it. They can't change it anymore. So what does warning them after the fact do for you at this point in time?
Or according to the Shita Mikubetzet, the Aveira is already done. So what's the point of Hatra'ah after the fact?
Matgiv Lava Abaye. Abaye says, why is that so difficult? Let them give the Hatra'ah within a Toch De Dibur, within a short distance where you could say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe or Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Umori. You do it within that time frame, you give them the Hatra'ah after they have testified, then they're still in the middle of their testimony. As Tosafot points out over here, even though you're interrupting with the Hatra'ah, if they're still dealing with the Eidut itself, that means that if the Eidim then recanted and what they said within Tokhid De Dibur, it's not considered to be a new testimony. It's not considered as if they are purging themselves, but rather a recanting or reversal of what they said before, and that would be permissible. So if you give them Hatra'ah immediately afterwards, Tokhid De Dibur, where they have the right, again, also then to reverse or recant their position, that Hatra'ah should work. Let us give Hatra'ah a warning in the beginning. We're going to again, then we'll hint to them along the way. Rashi says that we'll speak to them softly then. We won't have to be as hard. Others indicate that we'll just hint to them or remind them of the fact that they're still under that Hatra'ah. So therefore you see that you can create situations in which Hatra'ah. So Rava, that's not true. It's not proof to Rabbi Lazar's position that you don't have Hatra'ah by Edim Zomimim. Hadar Amar Abayi Lav Miltihi De Amrei. Then Abayi says, you know what we're saying makes no sense. Isag Adat Chayidim Zomimim Tzvichim Hatra'ah, because if you really think that Edim Zomimim need Hatra'ah, Kilo Madrinim Behu Lo Katlinim Lehu, and if we don't warn them, they're not going to get the death penalty. Mi Igam Mide De Inu Bau Katil Below Hatra'ah. Their intention is to kill without any warning. They're basically lying, and they're going to cause the death to the defendant over here because of their testimony, and there's no warning over there to the defendant. Vinu bo hatra'ah, and now we're going to require hatra'ah for them. If we want to do kasher zamam, if we want to do what they plan to do the other person, they're trying to cause mitah without any hatra'ah. So therefore, they should be subject to the death penalty without any hatra'ah. And that is
supportive of Rabbi Elazar's position because Habinan Vasitim Lo Kasher Zamam Lasod Le'achiv, because we have to create Kasher Zamam to do exactly as they planned. They planned to kill this person without warning. They should also get killed without the need for Hatra'ah in this case, Valeka, and that won't be the case if we demand Hatra'ah for them. Matkivla Rav Soma Braid Rav Yirmiya Elimiato Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Dolo Mikasher Zamam Kamit Rabbe Dibay Hatra'ah. Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that is not done because of Kasher Zamam Lasod Achiv, that is not carrying out the intended infraction that they tried to cause to someone else, we're going to carry it on them. There we have a special Gzerta Ketuv that they get Malkoot. So over there, where there is no Kasher Zamam, it's not like they planned, then we should have to have Hatra'ah. They should have to be warned in that case. Amakra Mishpat Achari Elechem. Mishpat HaShaveh L'Kulchem. Pasuk says that you have a consistent din. Now, this doesn't mean that everything is consistent and every lav and every punishment is always the same. It just means within a context or a certain framework is always going to be the same. So when we have Edim Zomamim's din will always be the same, which is there's no requirement of Hatra'ah. Even though in the case of Grusha and Chalutza, you would have thought possibly they could have Hatra'ah, or you could necessitate Hatra'ah because they're not learning of Kasher Zamam. But because the Torah gives a Mishpat Achad and keeps it consistent, all Edim Zomamim do not require Hatra'ah. So based on that, Rabbi Elazar says that Edim Zomamim pay and do not get Malkoot because Edim Zomamim are unique in this idea that there's no Hatra'ah. And since there's no Hatra'ah, we're going to favor monetary compensation over Malkoot. And that will explain why that is an exception to the rule and not the rule itself. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who normally says when you have Hatra'ah, you would give Malkoot and not pay. In the case of Edim Zomamim, we will say the opposite. Edim Zomamim, when there is no Hatra'ah, then we will give compensation the precedence, and therefore it's an exception to the rule and does not undermine Rabbi Yochanan's position. Rabbi Shisha Breid Rabbi Amar, Chovel V'Chaviro, Nami Mamonu V'Shalim Milka Lolaki Mi'Ochon. The fact that by Chovel V'Chaviro you pay and don't get Malkoot, we learn out from here. Because it says, V'chi Natsu Anishim V'Nakfu Ish Ahara'ah. Two people are fighting, they're quarreling, and they are going to hit each other. And instead of hitting the other party, he hits a pregnant woman, and she miscarries. Talking about here a case where there is a death blow over here. Because it says afterwards, it says afterwards, if there is a death caused here, then there's a life for life that is given. What's the case here? How is it possible that this individual who missed his friend and ended up hitting the pregnant woman and killing her, that he's going to be subject to the death penalty? Now, obviously, this is according to the Manda Amar, that if you intend to hit one individual and hit another individual, you're chayav, that's going to be the case here. There are others that think you're patur in that case, but mitkaven lezeh and ends up hitting someone else is chayav. That's the presumption over here. So now, this individual went to hit his friend, instead he hits the woman, and that makes him subject to the death penalty. How is he subject to the death penalty? Idolo atrube amai mikdal. If they didn't give him hatra'ah, then why is he put to death? Elo pshita da atrube. Must be a case where they gave him hatra'ah. Umutra le davar chamur avi mutra le davar akal. And because he got hatra'ah for the fact that he was going to kill, that's enough of a hatra'ah for something that is of a lower punishment or a lower grade. Now this is logical. If you say to a person, listen, if you do this, you're going to be subject to the death penalty, and they say, even so, I'm going to do it, then if they already mikabel on themselves, they accept upon themselves that fact, then clearly, if their punishment is lighter than that, they certainly accepted that, and they intended to do it, even with that lighter punishment. If there is no death over here, then they're penalized with the monetary payment. They have to make restitution for the miscarriage of this woman, or for the damage, or the chabalah that was done to this woman herself. So you see over here that the hatra'ah that worked for the mitah, it should also work for the necessity to give malkoot over here, because there's a violation of chabalah b'chaviro. So if you gave hatra'ah for mitah, and that hatra'ah is sufficient for malkoot, and then we see by chovel b'chaviro, you have hatra'ah for malkoot, and despite that fact, you still give mamona mishalem, you still pay money. You see that even in the face of hatra'ah for malkoot, you still make monetary compensation. Before we were suggesting that the cases of Edim Zomamim are supportive of Rabbi Yochanan's Shita because Rabbi Elazar says Edim Zomamim don't involve hatra'ah. And therefore there's really no conflict here between malkoot and mamon. And that's why you pay mamon. Because Rabbi Yochanan believes wherever there is hatra'ah, then malkoot will trump. So the case of Edim Zomamim, no hatra'ah. Along comes Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi and says, wait, by Chovel B'Chaviro, we do have Hatra'ah. And even though you have hatra'ah, despite that fact, we're saying that you still pay. So this will be another exception to the rule for Rabbi Yochanan, that even though normally when you hatra'ah, you would give malkot and not compensation, chovel b'chaveiro is an exception to the rule, not because of ula shita, but because the pasuk demands that even in the face of hatra'ah, that we would have compensation. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan would agree, by chovel b'chaveiro, despite the fact that there's hatra'ah, that you would make compensation. So matki v'loi ravashi, mimai de mutra, the davar chamur, avi mutra, the davar akal. You're making an assumption here that if you have hatra'ah for the something that's more stringent, that automatically assumes that there's hatra'ah for the lesser of the punishment. So if you have hatra'ah for mitah, that's automatically hatra'ah for malkot. And that is not so straightforward. That's not so simple. Dimalohavi. Maybe that's not the case. And as Tosfot says over here, don't think just because logically you would assume that if you have the more chamur punishment and he accepted that and he's willing to do it even so, that he would accept the lesser of the punishments because he might have a thought process like this, which is, tamot nafshi ima plishtim, I'm willing to give up my life to kill this other guy. So the individual says, I'll kill him, and then that person will get the chiyuv mitah, and he's willing to accept that. But to hit his friend and just do damage, and in that context to get malkot for it, he's not willing to suffer yisurim just to hit his friend or to damage his friend. He wants full mitah, and there he's willing to give up his life. So it's not necessarily a logical outcome just because a person's willing to accept a chiyuv mitah that they would be willing to accept a chiyuv malkot. Imtim salom rahavi. And even if you assume that that's the case, that when you get a more chamur punishment, that automatically subsumes a lower punishment, b'mai de mitah chamura. Who says that mitah is more chamur, dilma makot chamur? Maybe lashes is more chamur than mitah. Now that is something that seems counterintuitive, because it's very clear that we know, in general, that chiyuvei mitah are for all the most stringent or chamur averot. So it's pretty clear that mitah is a more chamur punishment. But, damar rav, ilmalei nagdua lechananya mishael v'azariah palchu l'tzalma. Had it been that, instead of throwing Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah into this furnace, they had whipped them, then they would have bowed, and they would have given in and bowed down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had asked them to do. So you see that the pressure from being whipped is much more significant than death. So maybe in that case, malkot are more significant. Now again, you have to go back to Tosafot's logic that we mentioned before. The reasoning behind that is because this individual is willing to trade his life to kill the other individual, but he's not willing to suffer yisurim in order to have the other person be injured. And therefore, even though objectively we could talk about mitah being more chamur than malkot, that's very clear from the Torah, here we're talking about it from the perspective of the person being punished, how he views them. He may view mitah as being fine. He's willing to give up his life in order to do or kill the other individual. He's not willing to suffer in order to have the other person suffer a little bit. That's just not his intention. And therefore, it's not a direct correlation between the fact that you give hatra'ah for mitah, that automatically should be hatra'ah for malkot. It's also possible that the reason malkot are more chamur than mitah is because of the public embarrassment that is associated with that. And that it was the punishments in many countries for many years. They used to do public flogging or public embarrassment of people who violated crimes. It was later stopped because of the fact that the disproportionate punishment that comes from embarrassing someone in public is very hard to rectify psychologically after the fact. And sometimes that punishment may actually be greater than the punishment of death. And therefore the Shita Yishana that's brought in the Shita Mekubetzet, it says that the problem by Malkot might be this issue of embarrassment. That public embarrassment might be greater than the facing of death. Like we have in other places, that a person is supposed to make sure that they don't embarrass someone, because if they embarrass them, it's as bad as killing them. But it might even be worse than killing them. And then maybe that's why we would say over here that malkot are more chamur than mitah. Now Tosafot asked the obvious question over here, which is with regards to Hananya, Mishael v'Azariah, where they're asked to bow down to an image. Why would they not give up their lives even if they're being whipped? We see from Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva suffered terribly, and he says, "B'chol nafshecha, you still have to give up your life, despite the fact that the Isurim were so great, he still gave up his life, because it was Avodah Zarah for the learning of Torah." So it's over here, why would Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah give in? They weren't allowed to give in. Why would he assume that they give in? So Tosafot gives an answer that is supported by most of the Rishonim, which is that in this case, it wasn't real Avodah Zarah. That Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were bowing down to an image of the king, and it wasn't really Avodah Zarah, but it had appearances of them subjecting themselves to either Avodah Zarah or to the rulership of the king and not to God himself. And therefore, they felt it was important to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, despite the fact that they may not have been obligated. Now, they would have done that or been able to do that if they only had to suffer so much, like being put in the furnace. But if they were subject to being whipped over and over and over again, they wouldn't be able to hold up to that, and they would have given in because they didn't have an obligation to really give up their lives. So they wouldn't have given up their lives. They would have suffered too greatly and said, no, we're not going to give up our lives. We'll bow down in the end. That's the way Tosafot explains it. There are those that want to say, and brought in the Shita Yishana, in the cases where the punishments are more severe than death, that maybe a person does not obligated to give up their life in those cases, and they may have the option. They probably should give up their life, proper to give up their life, but they're not obligated to give up their life, and they may be able to walk away. Again, that's more of a dat yachid, because you see from the story of Rabbi Kiva, that wasn't the case. But of course, the Shita Yishana will say that Rabbi Kiva did that of his own volition. He wasn't obligated because the pain and the suffering were too great, but he did it because that was the proper thing to do. But not one is not obligated to do that. So therefore, that might be the explanation of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So Amarle Rav Sama braid the Rav Asi, the Rav Ashi, Ve'amri lo, Rav Sama braid the Rav Asi, the Rav Ashi. So some say it was Rav Sama, the son of Rav Asi, and some say it was Rav Sama, the son of Rav Ashi himself, that said to Rav Ashi, Ve'lo shani lecha ben ha'ka'ashi ish la'kitzva, ha'ka'ashi ain la'kitzva. How can you not differentiate between Makot of Beit Din versus the Makot of Nebuchadnezzar? But the Makot of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, those were unlimited. He could keep whipping them until they gave in. In that case, a person can't suffer. A person can't stand up to that because it's endless. There's no end to the punishment and pain that they can cause the individual. And therefore, the person might give in the end. Now then, when we're talking about Beit Din, Beit Din has a quantity of Makot that are given. And a person knows what that quantity is. And based on that, they will be able to survive or withstand that pressure. And therefore, there should be some difference between them. That works well according to the Rabbonin, spelling of Chovel b'chaviro, damrei nefesh mamash. That they said here, when it says nefesh tachat nefesh, that means literally the person's going to lose his life because he murdered someone, he killed this woman. Because even though he intended for his friend and killed this woman, he'll still be held accountable and be put to death. Elo the Rabbi, Damar Mamon, over there, Nefesh Achanafesh, is that he pays compensation to the family of the woman because he can't be held accountable for when he hits this Nitzkavein to his friend and he hits the woman. There's no death penalty. Mike and the Maimar. What are you going to say in that case? Over there, you don't have any proof. How are you going to prove from that? Chovel b'chaviro with Hatra'ah for Malkot still pays in that case, because it's not clear in that case that you would pay despite the fact that there's Hatra'ah, because the punishment is payment in both instances. El Amar Rav Yaakov min Harpakul Mishmei Derova Mehocha. But we learn it out from here. Im Yakum v'italech b'chutz al mishanto v'nikah makeh. That if the person gets up and walks around, then v'nikah makeh, the person that is the one who caused the damage over here, will be let go. He'll be released. V'chid alei adatcha shezeh mehalech b'shuk v'zeh ne'erag. How is it possible? Why does the pasuk have to tell you this? Of course, if the person that he injured gets up and is better, why would you think that this person would still be subject to the death penalty? Alam alameid, it teaches you, shechov shimoto, they incarcerate him, vim meet, and if the individual that he hit dies, katlin and late, he's subject to the death penalty. Below meet, if the person doesn't die, shifto yitain, verapo yirapay, he has to pay for unemployment, and he has to pay for the medical bills over here. Hey chidami, what's the case? Idolo atrubay, if they never warned him that this hit could kill, amai miktal, then why is he subject to the death penalty? El pshito da atrube. Clear that they gave hatravahi. Umutra le davar chamur, mutra le davar akal. The fact that they warned him over here that in a case of a death, he'll be subject to a death sentence. And then certainly, if it turns out to be something less, and he's just subject to chovel b'chaviro, and he should get malkot, that should suffice the hatra. Bamar rachmano, and the pasuk there says, shifto yitain verapo yirapay. That he pays for unemployment and for the medical bills. So you see that he's still making monetary compensation in the face of Hatra'ah from Malkot. So again, we ask the same questions that we asked on the previous setup, which is Matkiv Laravashi. But my the Mutra, the Davar HaChamur, Abi Mutra, the Davar HaKal. Who says just because you're warned about the more severe, that automatically is Hatra'ah for the more lenient. Dimalo Havi. Maybe that's not the case. Vim Tim Salomar Havi. And even if you say it is, Mimai the Mita Chamura, Dimal Malkot Chamur. Who says that mita is the more stringent or the more difficult? Maybe makot are more difficult. And again, it's not objectively, but subjectively for this individual. Damarav, imalei nagdua lechananya mishalva azariah pachul etzalma. Had it not been for the fact that
Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into a furnace, but they had been whipped instead, they would have given in and bowed down to the Tzelem. Amalei Rav Sama, braid the Rav Asi, the Rav Ashi. Ve Amri la Rav Sama, braid the Rav Ashi, the Rav Ashi. The same thing that we asked before. Ve'lo shani l'cha ben ha'chash, yesh l'kitzvah, l'chash, yen l'kitzvah. Don't you differentiate between the Nebuchadnezzar, who could endlessly whip them, where they might have given in, versus Beit Din, who gives a limited amount of malchot. There it's clearly less severe than mitah. And Matri la Rav Mari, remind them of Mezid. Who says that we're talking about a case where it was intentional? Vinika, and over here where we exonerate the individual that is in a case, Mikatla, that he won't get the death penalty. Dilma Bishogeg. Maybe over here it was a killing Bishogeg. Vinika, and over here where we release him from Migalut. And if that's the case, then the warning over here is not in Hatra'ah for Mitah. It might be a Hatra'ah for Shogeg and Galut. And in that case, if the Galut fails, who pays money? Because there's no Hatra'ah. You can't say the Hatra'ah for Galut will give him the punishment of money because there's no Hatra'ah. The reason it's a Shogeg is because the Hatra'ah is missing over here. So there was no Hatra'ah. It was subject to Galut if the person died. If he doesn't die, he makes compensation. But that's because there was never any Hatra'ah. Maybe there was Hatra'ah for Malkot. He wouldn't be subject to compensation. He would still get Malkot. And therefore, it's not a proof. Gemara says Kasha. That is a strong question as to how you can prove from Chovel B'Chaviro, even in the face of Hatra'ah, that there should be Tashlumim and not get Malkot. Tosafot points out over here that this answer of Shogeg is very difficult. Number one is because when it comes to Shogeg, in cases of Shogeg, if the person lives for a couple of days, then he's no longer subject to Galut. Because Galut is only if the person dies immediately, not if they linger in any way, because then we think there might be exogenous factors that also cause the death and not this individual themselves. Number two is that the Shogeg is not subject to the Chamishat Varim. They don't pay Shevet. They don't pay that when there's a case of Shogeg when it's not Bimezid. So Tosva comes up with a number of cases or manifestations of Shogeg where you do pay the Chamishat Varim and where the person would die immediately. And therefore, you would be subject to this din of Shogeg, and you would have to pay Shevet and Ripoy if the person doesn't die. For instance, Hosif Lo Ritzua Achat, where he added on one extra Malkot to the Shliach Beit Din, or in a case where he goes into his friend's store, who is a carpenter, with permission, and then he gets killed by the work that's going on over there, or he falls off a roof in a Ruach Mitzvah and falls on top of somebody and does damage to them or possibly kills them. Those are all cases of Shogeg where they would be subject to the Chamishat Dvarim, as well as the fact that we can say that the person, if they die immediately, would be subject to Galut, and even if they lingered a little bit, if they're kept in a place where there are no outside factors affecting them, or it's not exactly the case of Shkita, where we say that outside factors would affect, over there we will say that he still gets Galut, even if the person lingered for a certain amount of time. And that's how Tosafot deals or solves that problem. So again, we don't have a proof here to the fact from this limud that even when you have hatra'ah by chovel b'chaveiro for malchot, that you still have payment, like the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, who normally says that hatra'ah by malchot will trump payment, but in this case of chovel b'chaveiro and edim zomim, it's an exception. And therefore, according to Rabbi, we can't bring a proof from the case of chovel b'chaveiro that even in the face of hatra'ah for malchot, you would still pay mamon. So we're able to explain, at least in the shita of the chachamim, as to why Rabbi Yochanan thinks Edim Zomimim are an exception, as well as Chovel B'Chaveiro. Edim Zomimim because there is no Hatra'ah. Chovel B'Chaveiro because even in the face of Hatra'ah, the Torah demands compensation, and these are the two exceptions to the rule, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan would agree in those cases there is compensation, despite the fact that there is Hatra'ah by Chovel B'Chaveiro, or because of Edim Zomimim there is no Hatra'ah. But in the case of Kenas, where there is Hatra'ah, we would give Malkot and not compensation.